Welcome to the Shift Spotlight Podcast. I'm Winter, your host and VP of Strategy at GCE Strategic Consulting. GCE are business transformational experts that provide fractional and executive leadership services that help business owners and CEOs shift from working in the business to working on the business. Our podcast was created to celebrate CEOs, visionaries, and the EOS community, all while promoting your business to our remarkable and influential network. We are excited to celebrate your stories of change, challenge, success, and shifts you've made happen along the way. The Shift Spotlight is always looking for podcast guests. Go to shiftspotlight.com to apply today. We'd love to have you. Hey, everybody. It's Winter with the Shift Spotlight. And today I'm excited to have on the show with us John Ward. He is the president and CEO of Ward Vessel and Exchanger Corporation and can be found at wardve.com. Not www.wardve.com, but wardve.com.
Yes. We love throwing out the www.
Okay. Sure. Welcome to the show, John. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, Winter. It's great to be here. And I appreciate you guys inviting us to join today.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So let's start off with an icebreaker question. If you could wake up tomorrow with any superpower, business aside, what would you pick and how would you use it?
So I would love to have a crystal ball that could forecast and tell me what the future is going to bring. Wow. That would allow me as a CEO to completely guide the ship in the right direction to where we need to go.
And to never screw up.
Bingo.
Right? Because if you knew what you were going to do was going to, yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
Yes.
Okay. So why don't you tell us at a high level what it is that you do?
So we design and fabricate ASME code pressure vessels and heat exchangers. So we build the big industrial process equipment like tanks, heaters, coolers that safely process the chemicals, fuels, foods, pharmaceuticals, and materials that you use every single day. So one of the large projects that we're working on right now is for GLP-1 weight loss drugs.
Interesting.
That's hot in the market right now. You can't read a news article or watch the news without hearing about the GLP-1. So we're really involved with that. We've got, I think 14 units that we're building going up to Eli Lilly. So we're excited about that project right now. The other areas that we get involved with are gasoline and diesel, plastics, laundry detergent, makeup, hair products, drinking water, you know, purifying the water, food products like cooking oil, syrup, pharmaceuticals, beer and soft drinks, paper products, paints, coatings, adhesives. So basically everything that you see on the shelf at Home Depot or Lowe's basically runs through our type of processing equipment.
I mean, it's not a very common industry. And it's very cool. I like to geek out about it. But I mean, how did you get involved going down this particular path?
So my father and my uncle started this business in 1982. Their prior lives when they were in college, both of them in the summer would go down to Pensacola, Florida and work for a tank manufacturer. So they kind of learned from the ground up how to build tanks, design them, engineer them. And so they took that skill set. My uncle in particular went into that industry. My father actually was in construction. So he was a civil engineer. Both of them were civil engineers. They kind of went their separate ways. But then in 1982, they decided to come back together, start their own company, Charlotte, North Carolina. And so I got involved in the business when I graduated high school. I started working on the shop floor, sweeping the floors with a broom, pressure testing, cleaning the vessels before shipment. I ultimately graduated from that and moved into design and engineering while I went to college and got my civil engineering technology degree. Once I graduated, I really had no desire to work in the family business. I wanted to go out and do my own thing, wanted to light the world on fire in construction. Spent about 5 years in Arizona doing high rises, shopping complexes, and really enjoyed it out there. And then my dad started kind of talking to me about succession planning and transitioning the business. He convinced me to come back in 1999 to, hey, come back, check it out, see if you enjoy being in the family business. Came back, loved it, and been here ever since. So it's been a
So
great ride.
wasn't 1999, it wasn't that the year that WWW was going to actually have Y2K,
Yes.
right? So
Yes, that was
yeah, I'm
huge.
just gonna leave
Y2K. Yeah, that was a scary moment for everybody.
Yeah,
Everyone
oh,
thought
I
the
know.
war
We
was
thought
going to
the
end.
WWW is going away.
Yes. Oh yeah, WWW.
Okay, so very interesting. And so I mean, you come from an engineering background, but you didn't particularly study it yourself, but you're kind of self-made engineer. Would you call it that?
Well, so I ended up studying and graduated with civil
Okay.
engineering technology degree.
Gotcha.
So
Okay.
yeah, so I got the engineering degree, but I've always just been in a mechanical and construction world. So I've always loved building things, putting
Gotcha.
things together, seeing the design aspect of it, and then seeing it actually get built.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of
Okay.
my passion.
So, we all know running a business is hard, as we talk about every day here on the Shift Spot. And we are going to talk about some of the mistakes you made. But before we do that, tell me something that you did right running this business, this very complex business.
I would say one of the biggest things that I did right was getting my mind around the concept of scaling the business. I realized, and it was hard to get my mind around the fact that the folks that get you to a certain level aren't necessarily the same folks that are going to take you to the next level.
Yeah.
And that's hard as a CEO, business owner, executive, because you got some great teammates that have put in a lot of work, dedication to get you to a certain level. But there's a point where you kind of got to grow that canopy of trees to where, when you're a small company, you're just, let's say you're one large oak and you got a nice canopy underneath that. But as you add on different business units, different locations, you got to expand that canopy. And so you got to start bringing other individuals either up through, around, or on top of some folks that are in some key roles that got you to a certain level. And that was probably the hardest thing, but also an area where I think I thrived in that, because I was able to keep all the individuals that did such a wonderful job, and I've got them in roles where they're thriving even more now.
Yeah. And that is very difficult to do. I mean,
Yes.
we all
Yep.
know the
That's right.
cost of hiring somebody for a position is way more expensive than keeping them, but a lot of times people keep them and put them in roles they don't need to be in, don't shouldn't be in, don't do well in, don't flourish in, but you've actually found a way. So, what tell me a little bit about how you figured that part out, because this is very hard to do. That's not easy.
Yeah, some of the things that we were bumping into was just individuals kind of get into that micromanaging
Yeah.
aspect of things. And as you coach and talk, and you can't get them to let go of the vine a little bit, to let others grow, that's when you kind of see that people have kind of reached maybe their ceiling, or they're at their capacity with the folks that are underneath them. And that's where you got to be able to understand that, have those conversations with those individuals to be able to bring some other younger leaders in, some maybe some outside folks in that can develop that, but then keep that individual on a good track or on a different pillar of excellence that they can then thrive and perform really well with the company.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you say that it's not what you do, but how you do it. Tell me about a moment where that philosophy changed the outcome of a project or a client relationship.
Ooh, that's a good question.
I have
So
good
we,
questions.
I know that was tough. That's a good one.
Okay.
So we really thrive in the how we do what we do. This could take me about 3 hours to explain how we do what we do and why it's different than a lot of our competitors. But we really kind of focus on three things, and it's engagement, expertise, and excellence. And the engagement level is where we really push internally and externally that our individuals, our teammates, we will respond to each other within 24 hours. Okay. And then as long as we're doing that internally, we can then push that out and do that for our clients to where we can really engage properly with them, to where They know exactly what we're doing. We're transparent with it. When their bosses, the uppers, are looking for information, we always have that information for them. So we try to help them win at what they're doing. So really the how is where we separate ourselves, but then it also goes into our technology, a lot of our proprietary software engineer programs that we've developed internally. So we spend a lot of time automating things that allow us to be in that engagement role. Instead of hiding behind and having to crunch out so much work, our individuals can automate a lot of processes to where they can be front-facing towards our clients.
And you have a lot of like 40-year-old client relationships, right? In an old
Yes.
school industrial space. So what are you doing differently besides what we just talked about that keeps loyalty that strong?
So I would say it kind of goes back to the engagement. It's building that partnership and
That
having
people
that.
first that you talk
Yep,
about.
it's a people first. I mean, that's the ethos of everything we do, and it's keeping that people first mentality in place with all of our individuals. But then also you got to back it up though. So you've got to put out quality products at good prices and on time. You know, the old adage of, you know, you can pick two of the three, you know, can you, on time delivery, quality product, and price, you can only pick two of the three. Well, we don't believe that. We think you can have all three of them.
I
And so that's what we're
hear
trying
that
to
commercial
do.
on the radio, by the way. That's why I'm laughing because they're
Oh
like,
yeah.
yeah, it's
It's
like on Fox, it's like you can have your on time like price or featured something like that. And then it's like, which two do you want?
right. I mean, to me, that's it's kind of silly. Why not offer that to everyone? And that really kind of falls into our purpose, cause, passion at Ward, which is delivering exceptional experiences. I mean, we want everyone externally and internally to have an exceptional experience with Ward.
And so your core values, they're selfless, passionate, and consistent, right?
Correct.
And so wasn't there a recent decision that protected those values when it wasn't the easiest business move? Do you have a
Yes.
recent decision that you made?
Yes, we do. We do. We had a longtime client that over the years, I mean, it was a great relationship. Some things changed internally with that client. Their values, I say, didn't really line up with our values to where the way a lot of our teammates were being treated, the pressure, how meetings were handled, just wasn't good for our employee base, our teammates. And so we had to make the tough decision to basically divorce that client. And
Yeah,
that was hard.
that's hard. That's
Yeah,
hard.
that was really hard. I mean,
That's
they were,
powerful though.
yes.
When you stand that much for your core values, your vibe attracts your tribe. And if that, isn't where you need to be, even though it's a longtime client, I truly believe you get rewarded out of situations. I see businesses flourish and grow when you make really tough calls like that.
Yes. Yeah, and I would say it was hard because we talked about it for a couple years, 2, 3 years. And when someone's 10, 12, 15% of your business, I mean, that's a good chunk that is almost on repeat each year. And what we've seen though is they were consuming 80% of our management bandwidth when it was only 10 to 15% of our revenue. And once we moved away from that, it allowed our teams to really thrive and really show up for all of our other clients. And actually, our business has grown because of
Isn't
it.
that interesting?
Yes.
So, are you in scale mode? Are you in coast mode? Where are your business objectives headed right now?
So right now we're in scale mode. I would say over the last decade, we had a big ramp up, 10, 15 years ago. In the last decade, we've spent a lot of time and effort to be intentional with making sure that we have the proper people in place to manage that workload. And we're there. So now we're in the scale mode again. We've got a 40,000 square foot expansion that we're doing at our Houston, Texas facility that's underway right now. We hope to have that up hopefully by 2Q of 26. So that'll increase our overall output by probably 20%. So we're excited for that. And then also our field service group, we're constantly investing in that to grow that outfit and
Right,
business
right.
as well.
Hi, I am Ken Paskins, the CEO of GCE Strategic Consulting. After decades of helping companies from pre-revenue startups to Fortune 50 giants, I wanted to create something that every leader could use right now. That's why we built the CEO Navigator. It is a custom GPT that helps you uncover real root causes of business challenges, build a focused 90-day plan, and even expose blind spots across your business that you don't yet see coming. This is not just artificial intelligence. It's built upon decades of proven operator experience, distilled in a tool that you can start using today. To explore further, please go to gcestrategicconsulting.com/CEO-navigator-GPT and see for yourself how it can help you lead with clarity and confidence.
So, as you're scaling your business, what challenges have taken you by surprise and how have you handled them?
I would say, right now with just the whole market and economy with tariffs, a lot of that has taken us by a little bit of surprise because we weren't anticipating that.
Yeah.
And so just the cost of construction items have gone up, and just kind of managing that to the best of our abilities to keep that budget in line has been a little bit of a challenge.
And so, did you know there was like a pivotal moment when you wanted to scale, or like how did it start to come about when you're like, we've got to really grow this thing?
So we, when I took over the business, I started being acting as president back in 2002. So we had some
That was
massive
past
goals.
Y2K, by the way.
Yes, you got it. That
And
was
nothing
past
happened, by the
Y2K.
way.
So at that point, I was 32 years old, and I just felt like a cowboy out there. I mean, we were just rolling. We opened up the Houston facility in 2005. So we had some massive growth over 10, 15 years. And then, like I said, we kind of leveled out. What we've done is we've created an incredible leadership team. We've got a great middle management group right now. And so we've really leaned on them and looked at our younger leaders and have said, okay, where do you guys want to go?
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of passion around expanding our Houston facility and expanding our field service group. So we've really kind of put that on the backs of them
Yeah.
to really take that charge and that lead. And that's what we've been doing along those
How many
lines.
are on your leadership team?
So we have seven on our leadership team.
Nice. And how many overall employees do you have in general?
So we've got right around 115 full-time employees. And then at any given time, we can have 10 to 30 contract individuals on staff.
Yeah. So you're definitely in. When you've got like that many employees and that many different teams, how do you foster a strong company culture, especially when you're doing it over so many staff and 1099s?
So I would say COVID, one of the silver linings that came out of COVID was the ability to have virtual meetings
Yeah.
like we're doing right now.
Yeah.
That really kind of amplified and thrust that right in our face to where now we can bring all of our teams together for weekly touch-in meetings. And we really talk about culture in every meeting. So every Monday meeting, we pull the entire company together, and we always have a segment on talking about our vision, our traction, and where we're going as a company.
Right. And you're running on EOS, right?
That is correct. Yep.
Okay.
So we started with scaling up, started with the Rockefeller Habits. We did that, I don't know, 15 years ago. And then we stumbled on EOS about 2 years ago. Really through I found 90.io, a platform to run, whatever entrepreneurial operating systems you want to be on. I found that, and then through that process, found EOS.
That's
And
interesting that you found it that way.
yes, yeah,
Yeah.
I kind of backdoored
Yeah, you
through.
backdoored it for sure.
Yes, completely backdoored. But I'll tell you, EOS has been phenomenal for us. It allowed to me. I view EOS as a force multiplier, to where when I was on scaling up, we were kind of stuck at that leadership team level, and we just didn't know how to bring the rest of the company up and through. with that.
Yeah.
And EOS has really allowed us to do that in conjunction with 90.io.
Yeah.
I think that platform allows information to move seamlessly through all the different groups, which has allowed us to really operate on a phenomenally high level right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. I like it. So tell us about what has been the most difficult part of your CEO journey and how you've handled it.
So I would say the hardest part about being a CEO and the journey to that level and with the growth that we've had is not being involved in every little thing. That was the hardest part. You know, I'm truly a people person and I love being involved and engaged with everybody. And as we got bigger, it was really just kind of letting go of the vine and giving ownership and accountability and empowering a lot of our managers to take care of that business unit, take care of that department. And that was the hardest part, because when we were growing, it was me and a couple other guys that were doing everything.
Right.
And when you got your fingers in everything, you know everything.
Yeah.
And so as we've grown, you can't be in every meeting, you can't know everything, and you just have to understand that you have incredible people and teammates around you that are owning those seats, and let them own them.
Yeah, that C role, that control, you know, like letting go of control is such a hard part of being a CEO, and one that, you know, most tend to struggle with.
Yeah.
Okay, just a few more questions here. So are there any key moments, groups, mentors, situations that have shaped your professional growth?
Key moments. Yeah, you know, I would say, you know, I've met a lot of just incredible people during my journey, you know, coming up so young in the business, taking you over at such a young age. There's a handful of guys that were in this industry, and I'll say their names: Rick Shepard, Jeff Hawk, Bernie Feineman, phenomenal individuals. They knew my father when I came up into an organization called the Steel Plate Fabricators Association. They were leaders within that organization. All three of them took me under their wing, kind of showed me the ropes. They were great sounding boards for me as I would bump into issues or run into problems. They were individuals that I could call on drop of a hat. One of them I ended up hiring, which was phenomenal. Rick Shepard ended up coming on board with me back in 2003. Awesome human being. And I really, you know, he's passed away back in 2018, but huge impact on me. Just an incredible human being, kind, caring, and was full of energy. Everyone called him the Energizer Bunny. And I just kind of fed off that energy from him. So
nice. Okay. All right. And what is next for you and your company? Are there any exciting new directions or projects on the horizon?
You know, we kind of covered a little bit. Really, our Houston expansion right now is the exciting new project that we're working on right now. Really want to get that facility stood up, get that moving along. But then really for me, I would say my role, I've really kind of fallen into a coaching role, spending time with the leadership team, getting out, really talking to folks, and just making sure that we're bringing everyone along the way they need to be.
Yeah.
From a business acumen level, and just making sure that everyone is in a good shape and position to lead the company moving forward.
I like that.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, it's very exciting. I mean, when you're investing in your people, the people take care of the business, right?
Yeah.
So you can't over invest in that area.
Yeah. And I'd say one piece that's been kind of fun is, you know, I've got two boys, they're both in college right now. I would say one of them was definitely, man, he wanted to go do his own thing. They've both worked many summers working in the shop. They started off just the way I did. And what's been exciting is my oldest, after doing some internships and spending time at other companies, he's really appreciated what we're doing.
Oh, good. The appreciation is happening.
Yes. And so that was super exciting for me to hear this.
Yes.
That he said, Man, Dad, just seeing the culture at Ward and being part of that, I've realized how much pride I have in what's
Aw.
going on there. And so
Yeah.
his mind's kind of turning around to where he really kind of wants to come back and join the
Ooh.
company. So
Succession. Here we go.
So that's exciting. And the other part about it is our current leadership team, they engage and love my boys like one of their own.
Yeah.
And so just seeing all that kind of take place and flourish is really, really neat for me to see.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. And especially with the appreciation part, because, you know, we're still like waiting on a few of the kids to get to that place. But man, we're ready for it. We're ready for
Yeah,
it.
it's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so what advice, final question, would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs and leaders who may just be starting their journey?
So the advice what I would give is it's a really complex mathematical equation. Happiness equals reality minus expectations.
Hmm.
And I'm going to let that sink in.
I'm gonna write that one down.
Yeah.
Happiness.
Equals reality minus expectations.
I love that one.
I can't remember where I heard that. It must have
That's a
been
good one.
25 years ago, but it has stuck with me to the point where I've actually got it in my office right here.
Nice.
And that simple mathematical equation really kind of helped me get my mind around the ability to keep my headspace in a positive fashion.
Yeah.
I would say as human beings, we are so quick to set too high of an expectation on people or situations that are outside of our control.
Yeah.
And what I've learned to do is just to really try to lower that bar and let people exceed whatever expectations I have going into a situation, because then the reality exceeds the expectation and I'm going to walk away happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we could talk along a lot about
Yeah,
that
yeah.
equation, but, you know, for myself though, I do hold high expectations
Yeah.
for myself, but I know that I control myself. I control my response to things, how I do what I do, the passion I put into things. So I can set a really high bar that I want to meet. So I'm not telling everyone to just lower your expectations because you want high expectations, but if you want true happiness, you need to make sure your expectations are in line with reality.
Yeah. I love that. That is a wonderful closing remark. And then I'll just ask one more question. If somebody wanted to take the next step with you, what should they do?
Contact me.
Yeah.
Send me an email, call me. Love to connect in any way we can.
Go to www.wardve.com.
Yep, and my email address is jward@wardve.com. That's the easiest way to get me.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thanks so much for being here today. You are absolute great guest to have on the show.
Well, winner, thank you. I enjoyed it and look forward to connecting again.
Thank you for listening to the Shift Spotlight podcast. If you are a business owner, CEO, founder, visionary, or of the EOS community seeking recognition for your exceptional expertise while gaining exposure through our remarkable network, we are actively searching for podcast guests who can bring their inspiring stories to light, and we'd love to showcase your journey. Please visit shiftspotlight.com to apply today. And if you are a listener, I'd love to give a shout out to your business to our whole audience for free. All you have to do is leave a review on Apple Podcasts or follow our newsletter on LinkedIn by searching GCE Strategic Consulting. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program, so hit subscribe to be inspired and motivated. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you and your growing business. We will see you next time.